This is Monsignor Gray, and today is March 22nd, the fourth Sunday of Lent, also Laetare Sunday, one of the Sundays in which in particular we should rejoice on this Lenten journey going to Easter. So it's a shame that we can't gather together to make that rejoicing more tangible, but nonetheless we still have this opportunity to reflect on the Word of God, and I just offer some of these reflections just for our consideration and meditation. As we go through this, it might be helpful to have the readings for the Sunday in front of you, either through the parish app or through another site that has the readings available. So you might follow along, read through them, maybe reflect on them with me, especially in our current circumstances and this kind of difficult situation we have dealing with viruses and communicable disease. Let's start with the first reading. The first book of Samuel talks about the time when Samuel was sent to anoint King David. And it's a remarkable reading because we see how quickly Samuel's ready to anoint the oldest son of Jesse. He seems to be the right person to Samuel, but the Lord is the one that tells him to hold back. The Lord tells him not to judge from appearance, which is what all Samuel really could do. But the Lord can see deeply into the heart of the man. And so the Lord looks at things very differently from Samuel. And it's a good lesson for all of us that all we can do, we see the surface level, we judge by appearance, and yet it's always good to maintain that humility to recognize that the Lord may have a plan or that the Lord's ways may be different from our ways, that sometimes his thoughts and his plans are different from our thoughts and our plans. I think in particular at this time we might ask the Lord why the Lord would allow different things to happen, especially sickness and illness. And from our perspective, it may not seem to make any sense. Samuel certainly had his opinions, but the Lord has a wisdom that is deeper than ours, and it's always good for us with great humility to acknowledge that. So what the Lord plans to do, or why the Lord allows certain things to happen, or what the Lord will bring forth from the different trials that we have to face, we really don't know. And so with humility, we stand with Samuel and we wait for the Lord in his time and according to his wisdom to reveal himself. And so let us hold on to that humility, especially from that first reading. The responsorial psalm that's very familiar to us, the 23rd Psalm. A couple lines from that psalm stand out in particular in our current situation. So we know the Lord is our shepherd. We know that he will watch over us. We know that he will guide us always. But in particular now, especially when people are not able to come to church, this may seem very much like a dark valley. And it may seem even in the midst of the dark valley that the Lord is not there. But the psalm reminds us that the Lord is there, the shepherd is there with the rod and staff to give us courage. So let us always remember that the Lord does not abandon us, that even if we aren't in the church building, still when we lift up our hearts in prayer, that we call upon the Lord, and it is the same Lord who watches over us wherever we may be. Be confident then that the shepherd is there. And we're reminded at the very end of the psalm that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. So even if we can't come to the house of the Lord, to the church right now, that is our destiny. Our destiny is, in fact, to be close to the Lord and to be in his house, especially in the heavenly kingdom. So think of this as just a short time in which we're away, or in which that dark valley, that journey which we're apart, and something, though, that is still temporary. And that, I think, can give us also a sense of hope and courage. Then I turn to the gospel. The gospel is one of those longer passages. We get the entire ninth chapter of John, the story about the man born blind. And there are a few things that really stand out there that I think are profound. The first is the opening question. It's the question that the disciples ask of Jesus. They call him Rabbi. And they said, who sinned? Was it this man who was born blind? Or perhaps his parents? Whose sin was it that caused this man's blindness? And that was definitely a sense from the Old Testament that illness or sickness was always a punishment for sin. And in a general sense, we'd say it was sickness and illness only entered into the world when sin entered into the world. But it was not a particular sin of the parents nor of this particular man that caused him to be born blind, any more than it's any one individual particular sin that would cause illness or virus or flu or whatnot to circulate. And yet at the same time, we might be tempted to think of this in that sort of way. Jesus gives a much better answer to this. He says it's neither this man nor his parents but it is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. And the work of God is going to be visible as he's cured and as he comes to faith. From our perspective, it's hard sometimes to see how the works of God can be made visible in the challenges that we go through right now. And yet, at the same time, by faith, we believe that that is the case. And so we wait for the work of God to manifest itself. Perhaps even through this difficult time, it helps us to be even that much more thankful and attentive for the gift of the Eucharist and the opportunity to gather together for Mass. Maybe at times we might take that for granted, or maybe even hold a little negativity toward the obligation, having to come to Mass Sunday after Sunday. Maybe we don't always feel as excited about that. And yet, when it's when we don't have the opportunity, it may awaken within us a renewed sense of appreciation, saying, no, in fact, this is something that we very much miss. And it causes us to think differently. Maybe the work of God will be manifest in that way, renewing and stirring up within us a greater sense of devotion and dedication to the Eucharist and to the Mass. Then after that, and just perhaps as a little bit of a joke or a little sense of humor here, we can see that Jesus is ready to cure the man, which he does by spitting on the ground and making clay and smearing it on the man's eyes. And of course, we would immediately wonder where his medical gloves are and where the face mask was and so forth. So nowadays, such a thing would be completely inconceivable. But in Jesus' time, he could do even great miracles, transgressing against what we would consider to be standard medical practice today. But the Lord is the Lord, so he gets to do that. But just as a little tongue-in-cheek observation, I think we'd be very much frightened by what Jesus did there if we were to see that today. But nonetheless, after the man is cured, then we go on throughout this very lengthy passage, but we see this man's journey of faith, that the man born blind doesn't know exactly what has happened. At first, his sight is restored, and then when he speaks about Jesus, he calls him first a prophet, and later on he refers to him as a man of God, and later Jesus reveals himself as the Son of Man, and he believes in him and worships him. And so here's the man born blind who at first doesn't know who Jesus is, but little by little he begins to see more clearly and not only knows who Jesus is, but arrives at faith. So that Jesus said at the end that those who are blind would come to see, and that definitely happened. And seeing not just physically, but even seeing spiritually. Whereas those who can see might become blind, Jesus said, and that happens increasingly with the Pharisees, with the chief priests as they continue to question him. They become more and more blinded to the presence of the Messiah, less and less able to see who Jesus truly is, seeing Jesus who is the All Holy One and calling him, in fact, a great sinner. So the chief priests, whose eyesight is perfectly fine, prove themselves to be completely blind. But that man born blind is the one who really comes to greater insight. And let us always have that humility to ask the Lord to reveal himself to us before we presume to know who he is or what the Lord wishes to do for us. In fact, we stand waiting for him. So let us be like the man born blind, ready to learn from Jesus always. The man born blind then really is the one who proves just how blind the Pharisees themselves really are. And there is a passage in there that talks about the chief priests were ready to throw out of the synagogue anyone who would believe in Jesus. And this means that there's really a great test that's put there, is that you can either decide to side with the chief priests. You can be on their side and stay in the synagogue. Or if you cross them, if you believe in Jesus, you will be thrown out of the synagogue. And so the man born blind really has a choice. Does he choose the chief priests and side with them, or does he choose Jesus and side with him? And in the end, he chooses Jesus. He suffers for it because he is, you can say, excommunicated from the synagogue. He's kicked out of the synagogue, and yet he's come to find something even much greater because he's come to discover our Lord Jesus. Even the Pharisees then later ask about, he says, are you saying that we also are blind? And Jesus gives that answer. He says, if you're blind, then you would have no sin. There's no sin in not knowing. And in fact, and sometimes that's just saying that we are not sure that we do not know. The sin of the Pharisees then in this case comes from claiming to know. They say that they see, and then being in fact in error. So again, it comes back to humility, I think, here. To acknowledge what we do not know, to wait for the Lord, to acknowledge Him, and to look for His wisdom and His will to be revealed. So just thinking about some of these different passages, it's just a good opportunity for us to reflect on these scriptures. We ask for the Lord to help us to see clearly, to wait for the Lord, to trust in Him, and always to maintain that humble spirit that we see mentioned in so many of the readings this Sunday. May God bless each and every one of you. We ask for the Lord's blessings and for to bring a quick end to the difficulties we have, so we might, in fact, shortly return back to church and back to the opportunity to worship the Lord in Sunday Mass.